Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Give me my gift.
WrestleMemus, Peter!
WrestleMemus, Mark! I didn't think we'd manage to get here, but we have.
We have. We actually, last year we did 12, and it was a bit of a nightmare, wasn't it? Do you remember? We sort of said, oh, we're not doing that again.
Yeah.
Well, look, here we are.
Mark just said we're doing this again, and I was like, yeah, fine. I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I knew it.
What we've done, a little change this year, is I actually asked everyone on Twitter to put forward the matches that they thought we should cover on WrestleMe. Ones that haven't come up before. Ones that have been discovered sort of recently, ones that people really like.
Something that basically says that they've only got themselves to blame.
Exactly.
So it's not our fault.
If you do not like the content of this, that is, it's just down to you.
Yeah.
You should have been better. Merry Christmas.
This is the Borty McBortface of podcasts.
So one of the things we did last year was we ended up doing like pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And then that almost crippled us.
Yeah, because we did full kind
of... Heroes of Wrestling pay-per-view. And then we did some short matches as well. And we found that really, I mean, the podcast lengths were exactly the same, regardless of whether it was one match or 13. So we thought we'd just take like individual matches that are great. And honestly, the suggestions that came in were so absolutely bang on that I had a list of 12 within, I think, about an hour and a half.
Cool.
And I have another sort of like 20 that we could have done. So, I mean, that's next year taken care of. But I should imagine by next year, no one will care about this podcast.
No, I don't think anyone will care about anything. This might be the scant consolation in a post-Brexit nightmare world.
You're keeping warm around your old episodes of WrestleMe.
They're going to be broadcasting this on some kind of Radio Luxembourg style offshore oil rig kind of broadcast system. Well, emergency broadcast system.
While everything looks like Children of Men.
Yeah.
That's a really... If you've not seen Children of Men, have you seen Children of Men? It's Clive Owen.
I remember the car going down. I remember the thing... I remember the building exploding at the start.
Yeah.
Where you're not expecting, it's an explosion.
Ooh,
and I remember the car slowly driving down the hill on fire, I think. That was an exciting one. Great film.
That's what
great
it will look like.
Clive Owen with a career.
We'll all look like Clive Owen.
I interviewed him once. He's very intense.
Is he?
All I could think of is that there was a film that you did once called The Croupier. I think it might have been his breakout role.
Yeah.
But he always had vodka in his freezer. And I have... Campari in my freezer.
Ooh.
And every time I sit, I think, croupier. I'm the croupier.
Thanks, Clive.
Thanks, Clive, for that. I don't know how we're going to do this, because we've not really spoken about this off-air, so let's do the admin on-air.
Okay.
Do you want to release it every 3 days, which gets us to the 7th?
Yeah.
Or do you want to release it every 2 days, which gets us to the 26th? You're holding a piece of paper with some plans.
Yeah, I've got an entirely different plan for plan C. I've written just pretty much random numbers. What's really helpful is I haven't put the days of the week there.
Okay.
So it just works out. It's very simple, easy to remember. 1, 5, 2, 10, 3, 12, 4, 16.
Is that a QR code you've written out by hand?
This comes up on Only Connect. If someone guesses it's the release schedule of the WrestleMemus ones, well done, two points.
Okay, so we've got the first one coming out this... Right. So this is Thursday. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, hello. Hello, Thursday.
This is how we do our planning.
And I think everything will be Thursday and I think I've got it on Mondays.
Okie dokie.
Apart from... When we get the run on Christmas itself.
Right.
Because I was thinking about this, and actually, I saw the BBC One schedule for Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And
it's toss.
I mean, they're fucking two Ronnies. You know. And that's like a hilarious joke about. I'm 43 now. Mm. The two Ronnies to me seems like something you used to get when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And you'd go, oh, haven't they got anything but repeats?
Mm.
43 now.
Yeah.
43.
And they're still doing it.
Still there.
Yeah.
And then there's Michael McIntyre and stuff like that.
Is there any kind of like reboots of like Only Fools and Horses or anything like that? Is there any like Open All Hours kind of redux?
No, Children of Only Fools and Horses, which is Only Fools and Horses, it's a crossover universe thing between that and Children of Men. And it's all about Del. He's got the last female chandelier.
And he can't break
it. He mustn't break
it.
You will never guess what happens. So I just thought it'd be good to have a load over Christmas because I was thinking about
this. He falls through a bar and crushes it. Which is the last female chandelier.
Yeah.
Ah, plot twist.
And the last thing you see is Roger Lloyd Pack turning to the camera and he's got no eyes. It's just blood. It's really, really, really dystopian. But I thought, like, over Christmas, it'd be quite nice to just have a backlog. So if you're, like, with your relatives or driving down to see, like, your in-laws,
yes.
You know.
Or driving away as fast as you can.
You know that, like, at about 3 o'clock on Christmas Day, you can go, oh, I actually feel a bit unwell, a bit poorly. I think I'm just tired. Just, long working
just
year.
Take this bottle of port to the bar. And my three bar heater.
This is my freezer Campari. You'll have four episodes of WrestleMania that you haven't heard, and you can just do that and just ignore your family.
What a good idea. I didn't think of any of that. I just wrote down. It ended up like the Fibonacci sequence.
Yeah.
It's just confusing. So I'm going to delete that.
Also, importantly, it does mean that the last of these will be going out on the 2nd of January.
Cool.
So we don't have to work on Christmas Day to make sure that we've still got them in hand.
Good point, yeah. And then we're back in the new year, probably after the 7th. We'll be back on the 12th.
Yeah, admin over.
No, not 12th. We'll be back on the 9th. There you go. We've done it.
Yeah, perfect.
Congratulations.
We've done it. We've done it really
Thank
well.
Thank you, Mark. You've really helped me through a difficult time. We're 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
And we've not spoken about any wrestling.
Isn't this just like other podcasts now?
It's like most of the other podcasts I do. At least this one has a point.
I saw your Luke and Pete thing was tweeting out a little bit of the bubbly today.
Well, Luke, bless him, when he gets hold of a meme, he really runs with it. He can't stop. People were shouting at the Football Ramble live shows.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people were tweeting us on the Luke and Pete show about a little bit of the bubbly, which Luke is obsessed with.
Mm-hmm.
He's whatever
his name is. It's muddying our USP.
Chris Jericho has released some kind of wine.
They released a AEW are very close with a company called Pro Wrestling Tees, and Pro Wrestling Tees are a massive producer of wrestling t-shirts. They started off as just a local t-shirt manufacturer. The wrestlers all started using them, and then they've become almost like in partnership with AEW.
And it's a smart move.
They get their t-shirts out in minutes of things hitting. They did their original Chris Jericho, a little bit of the bubbly. That t-shirt was, I think, their biggest seller of all time. And they sell some big numbers of t-shirts.
Yeah.
They then produced, really recently, a limited run of Chris Jericho bubbly.
Right.
They sold, I think it was in less than a day, 100,000 bottles of it.
Jesus Christ.
And that ain't a dollar.
No.
I mean, I imagine to buy at source, it's significantly less.
I reckon they probably take a hit on every last bottle. Or are they just buying some cheap old plonk and sticking some labels on it?
I think it must be. I mean, do you know what? If you'd done 100, you might have said, well, you know, it was a loss leader, but what a nice little thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's 100,000, you've done the maths
sensible.
On that.
You've got to be sensible.
They're
not getting into any planning meetings and going, right, what days are we releasing these on?
Yeah.
7th. Then we're going to go back the 1st of December.
And if they are, they aren't printing on a T-shirt. They're doing it in private before they do it.
This is the product. This is the product you downloaded, guys.
That's why they've got a proper, like, business. That's why they don't do other jobs as well as run the T-shirt company.
I'm so tired. I'm glad I'm leaving radio.
Oh, man. I mean, you're not alone in that, Pete. I think most of us are. Our t-shirts. Hey, we're talking to t-shirts.
Yeah.
And selling them. Mm. This Christmas is going to be probably the last
we've
time.
We've taken a Stanley knife to all of ours. Bored of having them.
We're actually selling, other podcasts will sell them, but they're obviously like damaged. Like they were supposed to be destroyed. We've got only a few things left if you do want them for Christmas. Mm. If you can order them early. That'll save me having to be in the post office on Christmas Eve.
Spoiling your child's
just
Christmas.
Just 11 Lord Alfred Hayes t-shirts left.
Oh my
seven
days.
Pork and beans. And we only have 25 of our Gorilla Wrestle Me pins that we maybe make
a
show
today. Oh, they're so cool.
They are brilliant. They are lovely.
How much
lovely
are those
stuff.
Guys?
I think they're $6.50.
Matt, that is such... You know when you see like bespoke items?
Yeah.
On like, usually like Etsy or something. Mm. You sort of go... That's so bespoke.
Yeah, isn't
and
it?
Such a short run.
Yeah. And do you know how much they cost me each to get them done?
It's £6.59.
It's about £8. that may or may not be true, but that's what we're going with. Mm. No, it's a bit less than
that. It looks great.
Yeah, we make quite a lot of money on everything. Unlikable. Happy Christmas. So let's kick off with our very first match. And this is a famous now shoot match that has only really been discovered and uncovered in recent years.
Right.
This is a match between Coco Ware and the Patriot.
Mm. And it's probably good that we talked for so long about admin and badges and things, because this is a very short match.
Yeah.
If only for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Sick.
Let me make it clear, I have done 2 days' research into Coco Beware. There's a story coming up about Prince's vault that involves him.
Okay.
And let me tell you, that is a cork. You're going to love it. This is a match from Memphis in 1985.
Mm.
Coco is a fan favourite. He's a face at this point.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. He doesn't act like a good guy.
No.
And what happens is really, it's like 3 minutes long, and the Patriot is a masked wrestler.
Mm.
He has a red mask, blue singlet and white boots. So he is a Patriot.
Yeah.
Either British or American. It's not really made clear because he loses consciousness quite quickly before he can explain it. And the bell goes, and basically he sort of does a lock up with Coco, gets him to the corner, and then Coco begins to punch him repeatedly. He does a clothesline on him, which knocks the guy out.
Yeah, he's not there after that, is
no,
he?
No, and as soon as the guy's unconscious, Coco is like, here's my chance to just wail on this guy.
But make it still look like wrestling moves.
Yeah,
That it's weird because you appreciate the artistry of an actual wrestling move, the slaps and the hits and stuff, because they kind of look the same when they connect with both of us.
Don't they? There's a funny little bit where he does so he hits the clothesline, and the clothesline doesn't knock out the Patriot.
No.
It's probably the fall. The clothesline is just so quick and fast that the guy doesn't tuck his chin, and so his back of his head hits the mat.
Yeah.
And Memphis wrestling was a sort of very cheap local promotion that had local TV.
Mm.
And the rings were sort of notoriously hard. So if you did sort of hit them wrong, you were going to hurt yourself, and this guy is out.
Mm.
Coco Beware clearly meant to try and knock him out. When he's on the floor, Coco then just begins punching him in the throat. The guy sits up, and it's just that thing where your body, like when you fall down and you get up much too quick.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
His body is... His mind is gone, but his body is going, I must get out of this situation.
I got to get out of this ring.
I must get to safety. And Coco just begins kicking him in the back. Like you would... I can't think even what you'd kick like that. It's sort of maybe like a bouncy castle. If someone said it's got a slow leak, you'd go douche, 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 like that. And you'd go, yes. You know? He just absolutely beats the crap out of him.
Yeah.
He does a little bit where Patriot is lying on the floor and he gets on his back and he does like a wrestling sort of funny thing where he runs on his spine.
But he's running on his spine.
But that's it, isn't it?
That's it.
I mean, that's
it. He hasn't got his hand on the ring to stop it.
If that was a genuine assault that had happened in a common near your house, that would be the bit that the judge would go...
Well, you're going, that's 20.
There is no mitigation.
No.
Because there was even a bit where you began running on the spot on the base of his spine, which showed a callous disregard for human life.
Coco Beware, Coco Ware at this point.
Yeah.
The bird doesn't want to know about it. Obviously, the bird came later.
The
bird would have flown away. Like, I don't want it. Steve, you're on your own.
That was really unprofessional. This is my bird, Frankie. Watch out! Coco will get you.
Because of the WWE, for some reason in my head, like the last time I saw him wrestle, probably he seemed a bit more fun-loving.
Yes,
a bit more. more down to party and a bit more of a like a child's character. Yeah. Because he's like a fun character.
And I think that's a really interesting thing about wrestling is Coco Beware is, in the WWE, a guy who loses all the time, who is smaller than everyone else, and who is there high-fiving the kids.
Yeah.
And the reality is he is a trained professional wrestler and he is a tough, tough guy.
Mm.
And you see it in this match. Now, people have discovered this match more recently. I think the one person who hasn't really talked about it is Coco Beware.
Right.
Nobody really knows who the Patriot is either. I mean, it could have been his first match. It could have been his only match.
Yeah.
Especially there's a pin that Coco does, which is just, he just puts his, he does the Ghostbuster, which is his, it's a suplex, which he then drops down into a Brainbuster, which is a lethal move.
Well, to be fair, he didn't murder him.
He protects him on that move.
He
does it, which is sort of amazing. The guy is unconscious, so for Coco to actually pick him up and sort of get him straight, that is unbelievably freaky strength. He drops him onto his head, but it's the move like it would normally be done.
Yeah.
Coco decides he will let the man live. He then does a pin on him, and he's got his knee on it. You might think, well, Coco's not angry anymore.
Yeah.
He does a pin, it goes 1, 2, and Coco just slaps him across the face.
The way the arc of the arm and the connection with the man's cheek is so fuck you energy. And good night, I'm done.
Have you learned?
Oh, it's almost like punching your card in at the end of your timesheet. Ka-chunk.
He just
bang.
He does that, off he goes. The referee has to pretty much leave the ring to lift his arm up. But no one knows why this happened.
Yeah.
So people have sort of said it doesn't look like the Patriot gives him a potato shot really early on.
No.
And Coco loses his temper. He comes to the ring really angry.
Yeah, because the pitcher kind of just comes in like he's eating a roast, didn't he? Sort of rubbing his belly. He's looking really relaxed about
the
whole thing.
I'm looking forward to eating some of Coco's fists and feet. Yummy yum. One of the things that's been posited over the years has been that the guy might have said something racial to Coco Beware. But there's absolutely no proof of that. Coco Beware does have a bit of history. It's worth saying, in this, he's Coco Ware.
Yeah.
He moves after Memphis, where he has a really good run, including a bit where he loses a Loser Leaves Town match to Bobby Eaton, who in the 80s was always seen as the most underrated wrestler of all time, a guy from Alabama. And he lost a Loser Leaves Memphis match to him, and he returned in a classic wrestling angle under a mask as Stagger Lee.
Right.
He then goes to Mid-South, which was being sort of run by a guy called Bill Watts, would later take over WCW, and Jim Ross was the commentator there.
Right.
And Jim Ross is the person who added the B, so he was Coco Beware.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Why?
I don't know.
I guess, it's Beware, but like...
But what's a Coco Beware?
I would just call him Beware. Like,
yeah.
But then it's his actual second name, isn't it? Where?
Yes,
so,
it is.
So I don't know.
He said that Coco was not a racial name, which it sounds like. It sounds like that's the sort of thing that if you were working in Memphis in the early 80s, you'd have a big fat white promoter going, "I'm going to call you Coco."
Yeah.
But it's not true. He said that he was given the name at high school by, I think, a football coach. And he said it was because he had such lovely, smooth skin that it actually looked like drinking chocolate. I mean, it still sounds a little bit racist to me.
When the man is defending... I mean, you wouldn't say it to anyone, would you?
It'd be like everyone calling you Snowy Blue. And you said, well, why is it that? And it's because my skin looks like driven snow. And you go, bit weird. Just a little bit
Why are you talking
weird?
About my skin, sir? I am but a high school student.
Yeah, don't you love me for my spirit? Coco then in like 86, 87, goes to WWF.
Mm.
And that's where he says to Vince McMahon, look, I've always wanted to get a parrot. And they go, well...
Oh, so it was his... Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Oddly, I think he used for the first year a song called The Bird. And that was by a man called Morris Day. And Morris Day is a funk performer from Minneapolis who was at high school with Prince. Right. So Morris Day and the Time was the band, and the song he used was The Bird. It was later changed into something sounding very similar that Coco sang about being a bird man. And the only reason I mention this is because there was a really weird thing that happened after Prince's death.
Mm.
And a lot of people were excited about what was in Paisley Park. Mm. And there was a list that was leaked of all the strange sort of memorabilia and bits and bobs that were in Prince's vault.
Yeah.
One of those things, you know, lots of sort of albums that hadn't been released. Madhouse 24, the jazz fusion album he recorded in 1988. Sexy Drummer Funker, a collection of drum solos by Sheila E. The Apollonia 6 film, which was an attempt to do for his sort of singing style at Apollonia 6, what Purple Rain had done for him. Mm. So all these things that sort of sound very Princey.
Yeah.
And one of the things on the list was that there was a Morris Day narrated documentary film about Coco Beware.
What?
In Prince's vault.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
One other wrestling thing that was there is they said that there was a hard rock project that he'd done with the lead singer and guitarist from Sugar, Bob Mould. Mm. And Bob Mould was at one time an employee of WCW after his sort of rock career because he was a huge wrestling fan. And that was entitled Bockwinkel. And Nick Bockwinkel was a big Minneapolis-based star from the 60s through to the 80s.
Yeah.
So there were all these funny wrestling connections. And the most interesting thing is, was Prince making making a documentary about Coco Beware with his like high school friend who'd given him this theme tune. Yeah. Anyway, Kevin Smith was interviewed about it, and he said, well, actually, Prince, over the years, he commissioned lots of people to make documentaries for him. Yeah. They were made, and then they just disappeared. We never saw them again.
He used to, like, film complete music videos for songs.
Yeah.
And just to fuck about with everybody, he'd go, nah, I'm going to destroy that.
Yeah.
If anyone said they liked something, he's like, nah, destroying it. Literally deleting the masters.
Yeah, there was, it was alongside all these other things. My favourite one in there is that there was an album unreleased called Catsuit, which was a sexy saxophone slow jam concept album inspired by Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman from Batman Returns.
That's the thing, I guess, about Prince. Like, he was a very, like, nobody talks about him as an outsider artist, but he used to do so much shit that nobody got to see.
Hugely. I mean, I would say, if you've never heard it, his 1989 soundtrack album Batman, which was the
go with a smile.
Where does he get those beautiful ties?
Bat Dance.
Album that if you had a wet weekend,
who are you?
I'm Batman. That's from the Amiga game as well.
It is,
what are you? Batman. If you've got a wet weekend, you could probably make an album of the same or better quality, and you wouldn't even have to have recording things. You could just, if you had a thick enough pencil, could get enough lead onto a piece of paper and then stick it on a record player, it would sound as good. But really disappointing, this list came out in 2016 and everyone was just like, this is so strange and so Prince. Mm. It turned out to be absolute bullshit.
Oh,
it's so disappointing.
You suck.
I mean, I would love to have seen a Prince-sanctioned documentary on Coco Beware. It would have been absolutely great. Coco was with the WWE, but he never really got beyond a certain level. But what you can see there, and what you really see from this match, is Coco is really a gatekeeper. Mm. And so when you bring a new star in, you put them with Coco. He's smaller than a lot of the people who they have anyway, so they're going to look more impressive. He can take all the moves and he's a bit of a high flyer. But I think there's also the sense of Coco can handle himself. And so if you did have people who were, you know, unsure or uncertain, Coco can just knock the sense into them. Everyone who faces him, just him under his breath, just going, remember what I did the Patriot, yeah? Let's have a good match. He was ending, in fact, fired from the WWE in 1989, and he was fired for having a fight with an executive of Vince McMahon's while they were on the European tour in France.
Right.
Again, people sort of said, what was the fight about? And it was, bandied around that the guy had used a racial epithet. And it just seems not true. It seems just Coco will have a fight with someone over a point of principle. This executive was a guy called Jim Troy, and he'd worked in hockey before. He'd been a hockey player. And he got drunk with all the lads, and they were at a bar. He ended up having a weird sort of thing where, before you end up having a big fight with someone, there's always signs with someone else that something's brewing.
Yeah.
So this guy, Jim Troy, ended up getting into a spitting fight with Shawn Michaels, spitting in each other's faces. And I think Coco Beware had stepped in and said, everyone calm down. Mm. And Jim Troy had turned on him and said, oh, you wrestlers, you pretend tough guys. Mm. I played hockey. I'm a real tough guy.
Yeah.
He was about 6'3", and Coco's about 5'11". They ended up having a big fight. And when they got back to the hotel lobby, the fight continued. I think Jim Troy was drunk. I think Coco was drunk. And they battered each other senseless. Coco Beware had a moment where a switch went, he said. And I went into him like Ali and Fraser. And he just pummeled him terribly, terribly badly. What would be best in this situation? What would be best? Someone coming in, someone responsible who was able to defuse the situation. Guess who Coco got? Marty Jannetty. So
let's do this party upstairs, baby.
That's exactly what happened.
Really?
Yeah, so Jim Troy disappears back to his room, and Marty Jannetty hears about this fight that's gone on and Jim Troy being, dismissive of wrestlers. Mm. So Marty goes down to the hotel lobby, which is now covered in blood. Mm. Coco cut himself on a beer bottle, and there's blood sprayed all over this hotel lobby in Paris, the city of romance. Marty Jannetty demands the room key for Jim Troy from the woman behind the reception.
Yeah.
She doesn't respond quick enough, so he ends up jumping over the reception bar and he ends up striking a male member of staff. Perfect. They get the key, they go up to Jim Troy's room, but he's not there, he's disappeared. So the next day, this gets back to Vince McMahon. He sends both of them home off the tour immediately. And he says to, I think Jim Troy is fired, but Coco Beware is also fired. He just says, look, I can't have my wrestlers attacking executives. And I believe he did the same with Jim Troy, saying, I can't have my executives demeaning my wrestlers. Mm. So both of them were let go. Coco did later come back, and he would have a sporadic career at a very low level in WWE. He'd be on TV, but he'd be the person who always lost. Right. And I think his last match was around 1999. He later got put in the Hall of Fame. I think that was 2009, I think, where he was inducted by the Honky Tonk Man, a guy who, in the WWE, they seem to have no connection. It would just be two random people being put together. But they were actually really, really good friends, and it dated back their time in Memphis together.
Right.
The only reason I know he was continued to wrestle in the WWE until 1999 is because it came out in a lawsuit. So Coco Beware, you remember this concussion?
Yeah.
Well, it was the big one, but there was a second one that has been done more recently by the same attorney, and it involved Coco Beware, a former champion called Ivan Koloff, Blackjack Mulligan, who is the grandfather of the Fiend Bray Wyatt, and Dynamite Kid, who has since died. A very similar thing, saying they had long-term health effects because of the concussions they suffered in their work. Mm. They were about to sue the WWE with this claim, but the WWE essentially countersued, saying, we are suing you because you're trying to bring this action against us, which they called stale and meritless. They also said it passed the statute of limitations. So Coco is no longer in the WWE's good books.
Okay.
Poor Coco.
Poor Coco.
Poor Coco. So that is the story of the Patriot, about which we told you nothing, and Coco Beware.
You could, if you've got YouTube Premium, you could find a version of this match, save it to your device, and watch it between the tube stations Leicester Square and Piccadilly Circus, because it really does go on that long.
Yeah.
It's a miracle we've managed to get 25 minutes out of it.
Yeah.
But it is... He looks focused.
Doesn't he? Doesn't he? And it's so weird to see a wrestler who you're so used to seeing...
Being fun-loving.
Well, and also just, you know, anonymous.
Yeah.
And then you suddenly go, gosh, yeah, he was absolutely, on that night, the hardest man in the world.
They've always got it in them, though.
Yeah.
They've always got it in them. Enjoyable.
One tiny little coda. The big question, of course, remains. We've been through this fictional vault of princes. Was Prince a big fan of wrestling? That is a question we cannot answer. But the wrestler David Otunga, who is now sort of more of a commentator, who was married briefly to Jennifer Hudson, the Oscar-winning actress, he said that tweet. Goodbye, everyone! He said that Prince once told him that David Otunga was his favourite WWF star, or WWE star, and he said he loved Otunga's coffee thermos and bow tie. No one has ever said that David Otunga is their favourite wrestler. No one. Not even Jennifer Hudson when she's acting at her best.
He's either watched too much wrestling.
Yeah.
Or not watched any wrestling.
Yeah, I think it's probably the second. The good thing is, because Prince is dead, You can say, oh, yeah, actually, I did meet him once.
Yeah,
like
exactly,
I did.
Yeah.
Like I did.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, this was as good as WrestleMania gets, and there was no padding.
Right, stick that in your reviews. Prince, endorsed by Tiny Prince.
Yeah.
Tiny Dead Prince.
If you don't believe us, then you can check in his vault.
WrestleMania's Mark.
WrestleMania's Pete.
We'll be back very soon with another one of these.
Bye. All right.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces
three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.